Les colloques du Collège de France.
So the next presentation will be given by Beatrice Moya. So she's an associate professor at École nationale supérieure des arts et métiers, so CNAM. And so she's working with Paco Chinesta. And she is also a representative of the Spanish section of for numerical mechanics and delegate to the ECOMAS Young Researcher Committee. So as I said previously, we have the new generation that is arriving and that will present new results in the territory of artificial intelligence and the reduction of complexity. The floor is yours.
Thank you very much for the opportunity of presenting this work. Actually, I think it's on point because I'm going to show some results on the applications of reduced order models in the simulation of the îlot de chaleur. So I think, yeah, it is quite related to the feelings we are experiencing today with the climate change. So first of all,
climate change doesn't exist.
No. Nothing. No. So first of all, I would like, it is true that I have a long list of co-authors, but it's because I'm going to show several applications and I think we have to acknowledge all their work. And with that, I'm going to start by introducing a bit the main topic of this talk, that is hybrid modeling. Hybrid modeling, we can see it in many different shapes. We can see hybrid modeling in applying some biases in applications in artificial intelligence, in neural networks, building surrogate models, but also in building correction models. Sometimes we have a surrogate that we build with POD, PCA, or neural networks, and we need this correction to have a more accurate picture of the system we are trying to model. So everything is hybrid modeling, and it's of utmost importance in artificial intelligence to avoid deviations from reality. Now we tend to rely on data. The more data we have, we believe, the better results we get, but still, we are not capable of correctly generalizing to the real physics, because sometimes we are capable of seeing the real picture, but if we go closer, we see that we have patches of information that looks real, but it is not. So this is important, especially when we are working with generative AI, that is now, I think, in my opinion, a fancy way of calling model order reduction, because in the end, we are learning manifolds. So which is the objective of this talk? We are going to see how including biases in model order reduction led by neural networks can improve our modeling capabilities in our manifolds and how to apply these to examples that are related to the numerical transition of territories. So urban design, architectural design, and also climate modeling. So the first part of the talk is going to be focused on knowledge-informed generative AI, some examples of how we included some biases in these model order reduction techniques that you will see now. And then I'm going to show you some examples of the Descartes project led by Paco Chinesta in Singapore, demonstrated the power of reduced modeling in not only modeling, but also prognosis and diagnosis. So, knowledge-informed AI, which is generative AI. We have a set of points, and what we want to do is to create new content. We have some samples, some data that we have collected. Usually, we cannot collect as much data as we would like to because it is costly. But what we want to do is to have a fantastic manifold where we can interpolate. So we want something new that makes sense. And even though we call it generative AI, as I said, we've been calling it traditionally model order reduction, because in the end, what we are trying to do is to learn manifolds. We have linear methods and nonlinear methods based on classical techniques with POD, proper orthogonal decomposition. We know it very, very well. What we are learning is an orthogonal projection that is interpretable and generates a space where we can interpolate new samples. It makes sense what we are going to generate. However, if we deal with a highly nonlinear problem, our reduction capabilities are rather limited. So we cannot play as much as we would like to in our reduced manifold. On the other hand, we have nonlinear methods, such as the kernel PCA. The kernel PCA is an extension of PCA that projects our space to a, our problem to a space of infinite dimension, and there everything is linear. So we can apply PCA there and obtain a projection much enriched and optimized. However, here we have the problem of mapping back to the original space. We know how to go from the real space to the reduced order space, but not going back. We have alternatives such as a locally linear embedding, that is a version of kernel PCA. We can actually learn projections based on locally linear embedding from the kernel PCA space, but we are still having this problem, and also we are using a kernel trick that we would like to avoid. On the other hand, we have the applications based on neural networks, and these are the three technologies that are most commonly used. The first one is vanilla autoencoders. We have an encoder that is a function that projects from our high-dimensional space to our low-dimensional space. There we have a manifold where we work in, and then a decoder that is a mapping, a function learning back from the reduced order space to the high order space. Here we have a big positive point is that it's easy to train. We don't have complications. However, we potentially have unrealistic results in the middle because it tends to have holes, especially when we have a higher dimensionality space. So what we can do to avoid having those holes is to apply variational principles. And there we have variational autoencoders. In this case, in our latent space, we don't have a deterministic sample. We have the mean and the standard deviation, and that provides a continuous space where we can explore. However, even though we get more realistic samples, it is difficult to train, and sometimes we are limited by the statistic qualities of our autoencoder. And then we have adversarial neural networks, generative adversarial neural networks. We get really high quality samples with this scheme. I will go deeper into the explanation, but we have a generator and a discrimination, a double game, that is encouraging the learning of the generator. The problem is that it is very difficult to train. I know for experience, even including some physics, but it is difficult to train, and sometimes it generates, again, unrealistic results. So, thinking of these architectures, POD, KPCA, and neural networks, we try to combine both to obtain manifolds of really reduced dimensionality where we can interpolate. So, which is the model? We have a nonlinear manifold that we obtain with autoencoders, because most of the problems that we have to deal with are nonlinear, so using autoencoders is helpful to learn the correctly the nonlinearity. But for this purpose, to be able to properly interpolate, we would need to have a nonlinear interpolation, and we don't know the nonlinearities of our new manifold. So we try to do linear interpolation, and what happens? That we fall in the middle of the manifold and we create something that does not make sense. So what we want is to use linear interpolation. And for this purpose, what we do is to apply PCA in the bottleneck of our autoencoder. So it is the other way of seeing the POD DLROM. In here, we have an encoder, then a PCA block, and then we reach our reduced order manifold. And then we have the decoder that maps back to the original space. So what is the encoder doing? The encoder is acting as the kernel of the kernel PCA. It is reaching a state of the system that is linear and where we can apply easily PCA. instead of having the kernel trick, we learn this mapping. And we don't have to infinite dimensions. We get to a new space, we set the dimensionality we consider necessary to then learn the PUD projection. And this is our work, by the way, carried out by Jan Munayer that defended his thesis recently, also in collaboration with the Cher-Escaev. And what is the result that we get? We get a space without holes. We are capable of interpolating, and we have continuous space of designs. And that triggers, for example, learning dynamical systems. Here's a first example of heat, of heat transfer. We can go from small systems, such as electronics, to big cities. This is a problem with a really high number of parameters, and we are not always capable of parametrizing the high dimensionality of the problem. So what we are going to do is to learn from an image with our rank reduction autoencoder. So the first block is our variational rank reduction autoencoder. This is an improved version of the rank reduction autoencoder. So we have the good properties of PCA, so our manifold is linear, and we also include this variational part to learn the mean and the standard deviation to give even more continuity to the manifold and get better results. So we learn that, and then based on the capabilities of our latent manifold, we learn a depot net, in this case, to solve a heat problem. It is in this case a depot net, but there are some other examples based on the dynamic mode decomposition, for example, that can profit a lot from the linearity applied in this manifold. In this case, we decided to use the depot net because learning operators was quite ad hoc for this problem. So here we have an image that is going to represent a city seen from the top. We have two squares and two circles. And what we are going to do is to predict, based on the latent representations of the geometries, the solution of the heat in real time. Which is our data set? We have two circles and two squares. So for us, we can see the parametrization. We have a flag that is square or circle, and then the positions, because we don't change the size of the shapes. So here in total, we have nine variables. However, when we apply the rank reduction autoencoder, it is capable of seeing a different parametrization. We provided simply the image, and we let the autoencoder learn the parametrization. And it learned that with 8 latent variables, we are capable of learning the representation of these geometries. It outperforms the capacity of vanilla autoencoders. And here I'm going to show you some videos of how we play in the manifold. We can get results in real time of our heat problem. And here we see some noise discontinuities with our autoencoder. However, when we work with our variational rank reduction autoencoder, we have obviously some noise because it is difficult to get 100% of continuity in the manifold, but very good results. And also, it is worth noting that it learned shapes such as 4 squares, 4 circles. So it went out of the data set. It learned something else, which is the real power of generative.
Excuse me, I didn't see what was on the right and what was on the
left. Sorry. So here in the in the left, we have the vanilla autoencoder, and here we have the rank reduction autoencoder. And in here we have a space that is linear, and we get better results because everything is continuous. And on top of that, we obtain results such as 4 squares, 4 circles that were out of the original database. So we are really exploiting the capacity of generation. We did a cross study combining the rank reduction autoencoder and with an ordinary convolutional decoder for learning the physics with the depot nets. And the results are that the combination with of the variational rank deduction autoencoder with the depot net get the best accuracy and stability. You may see that here in the infinite norm, we get that the CNN plus the variational rank deduction autoencoder outperforms a little bit, but it's because we are smoothing out the result and it smooths the outliers. And finally, we get a higher computational efficiency rather compared with MATLAB, because with the depot net we get, well, 1,000 orders of magnitude of improvement. And this is an example of how it performs the autoencoder and the variational rank reduction autoencoder. We choose two samples in the manifold, two random samples, and we perform a linear interpolation between them. Here we see some stabilities creating random noise, structures that do not exist. And in the variational rank reduction autoencoder, we are learning this discontinuity and smoothness. So that was with regard to the interpolation, but now how to avoid mode collapse? Because in general, when we are learning manifolds, we tend to overfit sometimes to the shapes that are already present in our data set. So here we are going to work with generative adversarial neural networks. And in a nutshell, it is a game where we have a generator that is learning how to produce samples from a latent vector of random noise, and a discriminator that will say if the output of the generator is true or false. With this double game, we are going to increase the capabilities of generation of the generator while improving also the capacity to distinguish of the discriminator. In the end, when we reach convergence, we get good results from the generator, and the discriminator has a lot of trouble distinguishing if the sample generated is true or false. However, here, as I was saying, we tend to have this mode collapse to overfit to the data set that we have in origin. So we propose another architecture that is coupled with a third discriminator, in which we are going to evaluate the physics of our solution. Since we are learning from physics, we are adding an additional bias. The manifold will make more sense. The samples generated are going to be stable. Now I'm going to present the work over which we are applying this architecture. And also we'll encourage the network to not only learn the samples in the database, but something else. Here, the loss of the generator is going to include the ordinary losses, so the one of the generator with regard to the first discriminator and the second discriminator. And what we are going to do is to analyze the membrane factor, because we applied this study to the design of shells. Why? Because my supervisor in Zaragoza and I are big fans of architecture, and because here's a curiosity. For shell theory, it is an open problem since the discovery of Hooke of the perfect shape of the catenary in 2D in the 19th century. So he enunciated that the most optimal shape of a chord acting with the self weight was a catenary, but it is a problem that has not been solved in 3D. And it is very important when we are dealing with shell structures such as the one I'm showing on the right by Felix Candela. How are those prototypes designed? Like the Sagrada Familia, physically, you have a prototype, you have usually a piece of cloth, you put the self-weight in the cloth, and you see the perfect shape. And then you invert it, and everything is working under compression, because here, usually, we are working with concrete that has to work under compression. But can we generate a tool that does it, and in which we don't have to build a physical model for the design? So what we did was to build a second discriminator, a physics-informed neural network learning the behavior of shell structures. It is inspired in the work by Basket and Kochman. And here we are learning based on a weak formulation of the shell theory. And with the output, the energy, we are calculating the membrane factor that goes from 0 to 1. That is very similar to the output we get out from a normal discriminator, and it fits perfectly well the structure of a generative adversarial neural network. So, fair results with this double discriminator approach, one based on the physics, we are capable of going out of the initial data set. We see in blue the real data and in red the one generated with our generative adversarial neural network. As you can see, we are filling a gap between the samples thanks to the second discriminator, hence preventing the network from getting the mode collapse. And these are some examples of the generated shells. We had normal shells, also shells with holes, so we included a rather varied data set of shapes, and also the physics reproduction of the new shells is highly accurate. So this is the work we've been doing based on generative AI, and now I'm going to show you some examples of the city of Singapore and the use of reduced order models for the applications we are developing there. So Descartes is a really big project that is finishing now in October 2026, led by Francisco Chinesta, that was 5 years long with 25 million of investment in research. And not only that, it was the opportunity also to work together with national structures in Singapore and also with other laboratories such as ETH of Zurich, MIT. There's a hub there that encourages the development of new advances. And the key idea of the Descartes project, the CAR project, was the hybrid twin, the hybrid modeling approach. First, we are going to work on the real-time simulation. We are going to deal with environmental problems and we need results in real time. So what we are going to do is to build surrogates based mostly on POD to get a very fast result to evaluate. And then we are going to learn the gap between this surrogate model and the reality with a new model that is called the model of the ignorance. Why? Because even though our reduced order model is physics informed or it is led by physical knowledge, for example, data coming from real simulations, there we have a lot of assumptions that are not fully coupled with the reality. So the goal is to develop a hybrid twin that is coupled with a decision-making tool to enhance humans' decisions. So this is our context. We are going to develop environmental maps of the city of Singapore, focused on the Marina Bay neighborhood. And what we are going to do is to compute wind maps, heat maps, etc., etc., parametric maps in this case with surrogates based on the POD approximation. And our outcome is going to be real-time maps with which we can take decisions. This is our input data for our hybrid twin. This is the weather in Singapore. This is real-time information that we have of the wind conditions, which is the orientation and the speed. And this is the result that we have, as I said, with POD running several simulations with regard to these two initial parameters, and we are capable of obtaining in real time the wind map of this neighborhood in Singapore. This was used for optimal trajectory planning of drones. And this is the case of heat that we can feel. This was also extended to Paris, but for now it does not have a juice that can help us. Well, and here I'm going to run the videos. Yes. Here we can see that we obtain in real time the temperature maps, even though we are changing the geometry of the city. Here we have parameterized it because we knew the parameters to change. We based the simulation in a level set projection. And tac, tac, tac. Yes. So you can see we get this in real time. Perfect. Okay. But I was mentioning at the beginning that we are working on hybrid modeling. And for now, what we have is the surrogates built upon POD with real data. But how is it coupled with the real situation of Singapore? This is a work carried out by Maria Gorpinges in our laboratory. And here we have a correction scheme based on graph neural networks. Why? Because usually when we are performing corrections, we don't have sensors everywhere or in a regular grid. So what we propose here is to couple our, in this case, finite element simulation, but it can be our surrogate model, with our graph neural network to learn a correction. And how do we do that if we have different resolutions? Here we have an example of our mesh generalization. We have, in this case, we were trying to learn a nonlinear contribution to a linear problem because we assume we only knew the linear part of our simulation. And we also performed this generalization from one regular grid to an irregular grid. Here it was key to, well, I'm going back because of the heat, I went a bit fast. I'm sorry. So here, for those that are not familiar with graph neural networks, we have a function that is general to unstructured meshes. And how do we do that? By imposing a permutation invariance bias. This is done by learning an encoder for the vertices and an encoder for the edges. There are the two main ingredients of our meshes. Why using an encoder for the vertices and the edges? Because we usually go big and we are not reducing. The goal of these encoders is to learn a more general representation of our graphs. Because as I said, we are having a permutation invariance approach. And in this way, we are capable of seeing not only local, but the big picture of our graphs. Here, we have the processing block. First, we build a neural network with the input of the vertices in the latent space and the edges, and we update the edge information. Once we have updated the edge information, we aggregate it and we sum it to input that into our vertex function that is also a neural network. With this information, we have updated our graph and we can do it in loops. Why do we do it in loops? To travel in the graph. If we move forward, in the application of, I'm sorry, if we move forward in the simulation with K passes, what we are doing is projecting the information from one node farther away, dealing with the propagation in this kind of problems. If we have a very local problem, we have less passes. If we have a less local problem, we need to have more passes to send information from one point farther away. And yes, and at the end, once we have finished our loops, our passes, we project the information back to our original space to perform the correction. And now I show you these results. Here it was key to define an appropriate aggregation function, because if not, we had high instability. So in this case, we had an aggregation function based on the average. And then what we did was to apply this to a scheme of Singapore. We get some data to verify in some locations, irregular locations, in different buildings of the city. And we outperform the behavior of the surrogate with our hybrid approach, going to errors to 0.6, 0.7% of error. Already the original simulation was quite good, but with the hybrid approach, we were capable of improving this. And here we have another example of our hybrid model, coupling this PUD surrogate model of the behavior of the city with real data coming from Singapore ETH Center and getting rather good results. So some applications of these surrogates, mainly for risk evaluation. So far, what we've been doing is to analyze to exploit the capabilities of the digital twins, of the hybrid twins, in evaluation mode for risk mitigation. For example, here we have pollution. We have a source of pollution. This one is air pollution that is propagated in real time thanks to our reduced order model. However, the conditions may change during the simulation and it gets updated. Yes, I think. I know. Yes, here I think we can see it with these augmented virtual reality representations. Here we see we have an initial simulation, but at some point the wind conditions are going to change and the simulation gets updated in real time. So here, what the government of Singapore was interested in this application for risk mitigation purposes, they designed for Curiosity a method based on drone showers that were located where the plume started to stop the pollution. And for that purpose, we need the surrogate model, the digital twin, to predict where the drones have to go. Here we have also another example, this one in oil dispersion, where also the maritime conditions change in real time, and also the location, and it performs in real time with quite accurate results. Now with fire, oh my God. Here in this case we have a probabilistic digital twin for the prediction of the fire, because we are taking into account the uncertainty of the propagation of the fire. This is a collaboration also with the Marin Pompier de Marseille for designing cuts for fires. And this one is for flooding, also with the Marin Pompier de Marseille. So we can perform real-time predictions based on the location, the quantity of rain, and perform risk management. And now the goal of our group is to use the output of the digital twins of these surrogate models based on model order reduction to develop KPIs, so economical KPIs and information that is useful for decision making and especially for the insurances companies. In this case, for example, we have information from the wine rows of the city of Singapore, and we have a toy problem city. We perform simulations, and based on those simulations in real time, what we are doing is to create a risk map of the pollution. So, as conclusions on future work, The smart territory is not a matter of over-digitalized, but building the correct tools for simulation. And our approach was based on using hybrid modeling and model order reduction to exploit the generative capabilities of manifolds to build these surrogates. And as in our next steps, what we are going to do, or what we would like to do, is to reach more interpretable spaces, to provide coherent results, and also to include uncertainty for risk evaluation. And thank you very much again for listening to my co-authors. I need water.
Collège de France, le savoir en illimité. Retrouvez tous nos contenus audio et vidéo sur notre site collège-de-france.fr, les plateformes de podcast et nos chaînes YouTube.